Go with me, if you would, again, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1. Tonight is one of those nights where it's just us. We stream over the internet, and we're streaming right now. But and whoever's out there on the internet watching, they can be one of us. They can just come on in here and be one of us. But this is just us tonight. We have a brother who has not been able to meet with us for quite some time now because of a heart condition and a blood condition that he's been suffering from. And I'm talking about Brother Charles Carr. And I talk to him often. He and I talk quite often. And every time he tells me, "Would you please tell my brethren?" Every time. He said, "I think about them." He said, I run them through the pews in my mind where everybody sits. And he says, "Would you please tell my brethren how much I love them and miss them?" And I always tell him I will, but sometimes I fail to pass it along. Sometimes I tell you, and sometimes I fail to pass it along. But he says that every time. Well, Tuesday I was talking to him, and he said it again. And he said he was reading Philippians chapter 1, and when he finished it, he thought, "That's exactly how I feel about that sweet congregation there." And he said, "Would you please tell them that that's how I feel about them?" And I said, "Charles, I will tell them. I will tell them." He was going through some of the verses and talking about verse 18 where it says, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." What difference does anything else make? Christ is preached there. Christ is preached there. And Paul said, "In that I rejoice. I greatly rejoice." Verse 19, he said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Through the supply of the Spirit of Christ and through the prayer of his people, Paul said, he is either going to deliver me temporarily or eternally, but he's going to deliver me. Paul said, "I suffer through these things and have these trials, but he's going to deliver me. Either way, it's going to turn to my salvation." Oh, verse 21, Paul said, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, I know not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We need each other. This is the truth. If we are going to abide in the flesh, we need each other. We desperately need each other. We need to be here for each other. So our brother told me, he said, "I read that and I thought, that's how I feel about my brethren there in that congregation." And when I got off the phone with him, I thought, me too. Me too. I had just had such an encouraging conversation with him about you. And I turned over to Philippians and I just started reading. And just the first few verses, I believe it hit me like it hit him. And I thought, how blessed we are to have brethren in Christ. How blessed we are. It's something we take for granted. I tell you, last year we realized that we took worship for granted. We did, didn't we? We just assumed we'll get up on Sunday morning and go to service and show up on Sunday night, Wednesday night. And there are places in the world where God's people have not been able to meet. And we had a little taste of that. And there are brethren in the world who do not get to show up and have the comfort and fellowship of brethren like we do. And we take it for granted. We are so blessed to have brethren in Christ. How sweet it is to have the fellowship of like precious faith. That somebody will say something. You know how it is when you run into people in religion and they want to say something to you and you just can't say amen to it. You know, they mean well, but how sweet it is to have brethren of like precious faith who will say something in regard to our Lord and Savior, and you can from your heart say, amen, brother. That's right. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil of joy that flows from God to His people. The love, the grace, the bond of peace that we have in Christ. So, with all that being said, I don't believe that the two of us are the only two people who feel that way. He said that he felt that way, and now I'm saying I feel that way, and I don't believe we're alone. I believe these words speak on behalf of all of us to each other. I believe these are all of our words to each other. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. For Christ's sake. Because of Him. Unto Him. In Him. This is our confession of love for Him and for each other. All right, let's read a few verses here. We're not going to look at the whole chapter, but just a few verses in the beginning. Verse 1, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. To all the saints which are in Christ Jesus, he said. It doesn't matter where in the world, where they are. It does not matter. This love is not limited to this congregation. It started because of love for this congregation, but it's not limited to love within this congregation. All the saints. Tell me if you don't find this to be so. Tell me if you don't find this to be so. The moment that you find out another human being truly loves Christ, you meet somebody and you find out that they truly, truly love Christ for the God that He is, and they honor Him. And they don't blaspheme Him, they respect Him, and they bow to Him, and they acknowledge Him for who He is. The God who left the throne and came down to this sinful world to save His people. And He did it. The moment you find out that another human being has received true faith in Christ and true faith on Christ, faith that believes that He finished the work of redemption. You hear somebody talk and they're resting in the finished work of Christ. Accomplishment. Totally looking to Him. Totally looking to His Word. Totally looking to His blood. The moment you find another human being that ascribes all the glory to Christ, and bows the knee to Christ and worships Christ, not man, but Christ. Not man's works, but Christ. Not unto us, only unto Him. Once you find that in another person, you love that person. Once you realize that a person's heart has truly been knit to Christ, your heart is truly knit to that person. It is. It just is. Because of our union with Christ, we have a true union with each other. We have a true union. And verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, and that's what we all are. We're willing servants. We are willing bond slaves of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're that way because we've been made to be that way. We were lovingly made willing in the day of His power. And it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you. That's what we want for each other. I want God's grace to be on you. I want God's grace to be on you. And the reason is because I love you. I sincerely do. This is me speaking from my heart. I want God's grace to be on each one of you. God shed His grace on thee. His kindness, His favor, and it's because I love you. The Lord has put a love in me for you. I would like to really confess that to you. I believe you know it, but I also believe it's good to say it. What if a husband and wife never said it? It's good to say it. I love you. I could just kind of go on and on for a while, but I won't. I'll stay on track. But I love you. And I thank the Lord for you. And I wish God's grace on you. The grace of His love. I pray God loves you. The grace of His favor, the grace of His kindness. Grace be unto you, verse 2 says. And peace. I want God's peace to be on you. You know what? You all come to me every now and then, and naturally so, and you'll be troubled about certain things, and we'll say together, well, let's pray about it. We'll be praying about it. And when God brings peace to you on it, I am so thankful. The peace of God's forgiveness, the peace of God's blood, the peace of God's sacrifice, the peace of His intercession, peace in every way, shape, and form. I pray God's peace be on you. Verse 2 says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. The word remembrance means mention. He said, I thank God every time I hear your name mentioned. I would start mentioning names right now, but it would only embarrass everybody, so I'm not going to do it. But I have a long list of names that I can think of that when somebody mentions their name, it makes me very happy. It makes me very thankful. Men and women, both, who I've just been so blessed to know. Men and women who have been examples in the gospel, just lifelong examples in the gospel. Men and women who've given their life and given everything that they have for the ministry of the gospel and for the cause of Christ. Is that to their glory? No, it's to His. But He made them to be so. I can think of men who I have been so blessed to have heard them preach the gospel. And you can too. And we could start calling out names right now. Thank God I was able to hear that man preach the gospel to me. Does this love for each other, does that detract anything from our love for Christ? This love that we're bringing up that we have for each other, does that detract anything from our love for Christ? No, it does not. This love for each other is because of our love for Christ. This love for each other evidences and magnifies our love for Christ. I'll tell you this. I've mentioned this to you before, but for a long time, I used to feel so guilty for looking forward to seeing my brethren in glory. And the reason is because I thought, well, that's stealing something from my Lord. All attention must be on Him. And the Lord brought so much comfort to me from the scripture where the Lord said, that man said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And He said, well, I'll give you two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And love your brethren. Love your neighbor. And in glory, as He is, so are we. We are all one with Him. It's not only a great privilege, but it's a commandment that we love each other. And our love evidences and magnifies the love we have from Him and in Him and to Him. The Lord said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. It's this beautiful love that I'm going to put in you for each other. As I have loved you, you are going to love each other. You're going to. Verse 3, He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That right there is the tie that binds our hearts in Christ-like love. That is the tie that binds. It's our fellowship in the gospel. It's our fellowship in the good news of Christ. Fellowship has been described as fellows in the same ship. And that's what it is. That's honestly what it is. It is a unity of spirit. It's a bond of oneness in Christ and in the gospel of Christ. It's all of us being closed up together in Him. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians 12. Verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, meaning I'm one person, you're one person, but there, you know, I have fingers and toes, and as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That means immersed into one body. That means God's Holy Spirit has laid hold of us and put us in the body of Christ. We're in Him. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Oneness. We've been brought into, made to be one. One. Oneness with each other, one with Christ, one with the Spirit of Christ. Look with me at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians Galatians 3, verse 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Meaning, if you want to know, have I been brought into this body and counted among the body of Christ? Here's how you'll know. God's Spirit will give you faith in Christ Jesus. He will cause you to look to Him alone. He'll shut everything else out, and it will be Christ alone for all your hope. Verse 26, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Oneness in Christ Jesus. That's the joy of God's people. That's the joy. That's the beauty. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." And let me read that again, okay? "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." How is that? How do we walk worthy of the vocation that we've been called into? Verse 2, "with all lowliness." You know, the Apostle Paul said, "Esteem each other better than yourself." "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering," patience. Oh, how Christ has been patient with us. He's so patient with us. Lord, give us patience for each other. He said at the end of verse 2, "forbearing one another in love." Verse 3 says, "endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That means at all cost, whatever it takes, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse 4 says, "there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There is one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Christ in us is the hope of glory. And Christ in us is the bond of our unity. He's our fellowship. And we thank God for that. We truly thank God for that. And I pray that He'll bring us to this calling that we've been called to, this calling of lowliness and meekness and patience and striving for unity and keeping everything on Him, all eyes on Him. Go with me back to Philippians 1. Verse 3, he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Fellowship in the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? It's this right here. Verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That is the good news. He started the work and He will finish the work. He finished the work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. He finished the work of redemption. He redeemed His people. He made the payment for His people. He secured His people. And He will finish the work of gathering His people. He is bringing them generation by generation. And He is calling them. He secured them. But He is in the process of currently calling His people and gathering His people. And that work that He started, He will finish. He will bring all of His redeemed people to Himself. It's His work alone. And all glory and praise goes to Him for it. So verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet. And that means right. It's good. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers. And if your Bible has a center margin, you'll see those last three words translate with me of grace. You all are partakers with me of grace. That's our ministry right here. You know, we have a ministry here. And that's our ministry. It is the defense and confirmation of the gospel that we're all partakers of together. Our collective desire is that nothing will creep in and distract us from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I'll, you know, if we wanted to have a statement of faith or who knows what, if you want to have a, what's our deal here in this congregation? Here it is. Our desire is that nothing will creep in and distract us from the simplicity that is in Christ. We want to keep our eyes on Christ. And we do that with the Word of God, the Word that guards the message of grace, the Word that confirms the message of grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done. Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, the Word of God alone, the glory of God alone. We're all partakers of this grace together. And verse 8 says, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And bowels means heart. He said, God is my record. God knows how greatly I long after you all. How greatly I want you all to be in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, David is a man after my own heart. He's in my heart. And Paul said, God is my record, how greatly I long after you all to be in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, he said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Your love, he said, I pray that your love for God, and I pray this, I can't do anything spiritually for myself. God has to do something for me. I'm at His mercy. If He's going to save me, I'm at His mercy. If He's going to keep me, I'm at His mercy. If He's going to do anything with me, I'm at His mercy. If He's going to grow me, I'm at His mercy. And so are you. And so I pray, and I sincerely pray, that God will grow and increase your love for God. And I pray that God will grow and increase your heart for Him, and your heart for His worship, and your heart for His people. I pray that God will bring us back. I pray God will keep bringing us back, because if the Lord doesn't bring us back, we're not coming. I pray God will keep us. This is life. We're headed towards eternal life. Nothing else is more important. Lord, keep us, channel us, filter us. Why, Gabe? So people could, you can have a packed crowd to preach to? No, because I have you in my heart. And my great desire is that you'd be in the heart of Christ. Lord, keep us, grow this love for Christ, His Word, His Gospel, His people, His worship. Grow us. Verse 9. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may prove things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. He said, I pray that you might grow in knowledge and in maturity and in sincerity. And don't we want to grow in those things? Don't we want to grow in those things? I'm telling you, I want to grow in knowledge. I've been called to a position where I need to grow in knowledge. I desperately need to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to grow in maturity. Don't we want to not be as little children, you know, here and there? And I want to grow as a mature follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, I want to grow in sincerity. I want to grow in sincerity. I want to worship Him sincerely. As we sing these songs, some of them are not that great, I'll be honest with you. Every song we sing almost has a line that I want to X. But if I start doing that, we'll stay confused. We won't know what to sing. We just get through it. We know that's not exactly right, and we move on. That's just a man who wrote that song. But the words that are good, I want to enter into what I'm singing. I want to sing unto the Lord in sincerity. And I want to read in sincerity and not just get through the sentence and make sure I said that fella's name right. I want to enter into what I'm reading. And even if it's not that good, I want to pray with sincerity, knowing that the Spirit of God is making intercession for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. I want to preach in sincerity. I want to worship in sincerity. I want to worship God in sincerity. I want to love Him in sincerity. And I want to love you in sincerity. And not just say it. I want to do it. I pray that we all might, verse 11, this is our last verse. I pray that we all might be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. If we are going to be anything, we're only going to be it by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of our God. And that's the heart of our fellowship. That's the heart of our unity and the heart of our love. Every child of God will say amen to that. Every child of God. It's all by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Anything that happens along these lines, it's all unto Him. So, if your heart has been caused to say that, this is all by Jesus Christ, to the praise and glory of God. If your heart has been caused to say that, then I sincerely would like for you to know that I love you. I do, and I thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for being able to worship with you and fellowship with you. And I just thank God for you. And I pray for you. Paul said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for me as we continue here. Pray for me in this calling. Pray for me as I study. Pray for me. And I pray for you. And I pray the Lord will be with us. And I love you. And I believe you love me. All right. Brother Dwight, you come and lead us in a closing hymn.